This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I'm a little discombobulated because our schedule is a little interesting today. Our former pastor's wife has died, and so we are doing the funeral tomorrow, and I've been asked to sing for it. You know, it's been a little while, but that's okay. He's worthy. And I was just telling somebody that I was kind of, you know, maybe complaining a little bit about it. Not because I don't want to honor our pastor and his wife, our former pastor and his wife, because they are good, good people. I'm delighted to be able to sing and minister, you know, in this time. I'm just delighted to be able to do that. But I am way out of practice. I mean, I am seriously out of practice. And so all the breath control stuff that I'm used to having and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, all that stuff is kind of like, well, you know, because that, some of that stuff is what I kind of feel like I'm known for singing, but that's okay. And so, you know, when we were, at first we weren't sure if we were going to be asked, and then when we were going to be asked, obviously we're honored to sing. And Lynette's accompanying me, which is always, that's a huge plus, because she props me up, you know, where I need to be propped up. And But I do have to confess that there were a couple of times where I was only partially joking, going, oh, singing, because it is something else, you know, to rearrange the schedule. But that's okay, too. But Jesus just kind of rocked me back. We're singing Down from His Glory, which is a great song. It's a great song. You know, and at one point, Jesus just kind of said, so, you don't want to sing about me? And it was like, oh, no, that, I will stop complaining now and rejoice that you are worthy and I am inadequate and I'm out of practice, but you are still worthy and I love you and I thank you for what you have done in my life. And I will celebrate that with you tomorrow, no matter how it goes. And it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I can fake my way through it. So we had that. I just got done at church. Now I'm, because I didn't want to do a sound check tomorrow morning, because the visitation is from 9 to 11. And then the funeral is at 11, and so I would need to sound check at like 8:15, 8:30. Tomorrow is Tooth Fairy Day, so I didn't really want to show up at church in a Tooth Fairy costume, even though there only might be a few people there to see me. Still, it's disrespectful, and so I didn't want to do that. David Asher, a friend of pastors and a friend of mine, is also singing tomorrow. So he was there this evening doing a sound check, and so we were there doing a sound check, and so it was good. It was all as well. Got that all taken care of. So it all seemed to go fine, and you know, Annette and I will practice tonight again, and then I'll warm up tomorrow, Jesus will help us. And it'll be good, because He's worthy. He's worthy. Things went fine at work. We got a few little issues that we got to get corrected at work, but not too bad. And got some things done that we needed to get done. So all is well. All is well. I will have a little less time today because I am heading home at this point, and I've got to get ready for small groups. So I got to vacuum and get the notes ready and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. but the writing is going fine. I'm on chapter 28. I'm a few words behind. I just kind of bottomed out last night. I still had, I don't know, four or 500 words to go, but I just couldn't, I was done. And I had to stop because we had to rehearse. So I couldn't let it go too much later or I was going to be falling asleep when I was trying to sing. And so, but it'll be fine. I'll try to get caught up tonight and I'll get caught up over the weekend. I mean, I'm on the home stretch now, so it's a matter of getting done the last few things I need to get done and discovering the last few things I need to say. I still don't have the nursery rhyme tied into it. I've got to get that done. I have no idea what I'm doing for cover. Got to figure that out. Got to figure out what kind of costumes the grandkids should be in. Get those ordered. But it's going to be fine. I think it's going to be fine. I think I have the epilogue. Last weekend, I was making myself something to eat, and I was standing in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, the epilogue went tink. I was like, oh, okay, okay. So that's the epilogue. And it's been interesting because some of that has then backwashed into some other things in the book, and it's given me the opportunity to kind of put a marker on a different way of thinking about life. Too often we think about life specifically in the context of our continuing in this life, when in fact Jesus did not come to continue in this life. He came to give his life, which is a whole other way of thinking about life, that we are here to give our lives for those around us. And if there comes a point where it's time to go home, we go home. And that's that. And that we don't hold on to this life too tightly. So I'm going to be able to filter some of that into the epilogue of this book, and I'm glad for that, because I think one of the most amazing things about COVID was how the Amish responded to it, or at least the Amish community that I saw the CBS News article on. And they basically just said, look, our lives are to be together. We're not going to isolate. We're not going to shut down. And so then, and they all drink from a common cup for communion. So they all got COVID. In 2020, in March and April, the community I was listening to about, they all got COVID and they all got through it. And then they just went on their merry way because they were done. They had achieved herd immunity and ta-da. Which, on reflection, would have probably been a better way for us to handle, but in order for us to handle it that way, we would have to have the mentality that we are not here to do everything we can do to ensure our own survival. We are here to serve and to love and to live and to experience, and when it's time, it's time. We'll go home. So that's interesting. So the writing's going well. That's fine. Costumings are going well. It's Tooth Fairy Day tomorrow. I think I mentioned that. And that's always fun. People get a big kick out of that. So I am working on some other things at this point. And there's been a lot of really interesting little tidbits in that I will share at the appropriate time. It's not quite time yet, but really, it's just amazing. And I'm keeping a list of them specifically for this particular holiday because it's just amazing. So I'm pretty excited about this, and it will be fun, I hope, and everyone will enjoy it, I hope. But at least, you know, we'll get an A for effort. We know that for sure. We'll get an A for effort. So that's all good. I didn't actually have any notes for today, and as it turns out, that's going to work out okay because I got to get inside and do the thing. But one of the things that I was astonished by this week was I've been watching more and more videos about this burgeoning new industry that I've mentioned in the past, but it's amazing how many people are getting on with this, starting their own businesses. They're prompt engineering for these systems like ChatGPT. Prompt engineering is turning into its own cottage industry, which is really fascinating. And in fact, there are marketplaces already set up where you can go and say, hey, I'm looking for a prompt that helps me do this kind of thing with ChatGPT. And you can purchase this prompt engineering thing. And it's all about figuring out how to ask the right questions of ChatGPT, which, as I've said in the past, is just hysterical to me because Isaac Asimov, in fact, had this exact scenario decades and decades ago, where there was this computer that knew everything that there was to know, but the problem was you had to ask the question correctly. But some of this prompt engineering stuff is really fascinating. I mean, one of the things that they're doing to get beyond this problem of ChatGPT only knowing stuff through 2021 is that they feed it information in the prompt. So given this news story, and they feed that in, and then they say, write this about that, you know, and ChatGPT will actually do it. It's very interesting. It's really interesting. Or pretend that you are a medical doctor who has 30 years of experience, and talk to me about this, you know, and ChatGPT just, it's really amazing. It's just really amazing. Or you do something like, develop a plan for this, this, that, and the other. Now criticize that plan and tell me what we could do better. And it will, you know, or criticize me at the way I'm asking questions and tell me how I could better ask these questions to get better results from you. And it will, it's so interesting, but it seems to work. It's just astonishing. It really is astonishing. So yeah, who knows where all this is going to end up? But it's pretty impressive for just being a token in and token out type situation. Who knows what lies ahead, but at the rate everything is going, in 3 to 5 years, things will be profoundly different. We'll see. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.